Let's get the meeting going, guys. Larry, would you help us out here with a prayer?
Sure. Our dear Heavenly Father, grateful for many blessings, grateful for this beautiful day, grateful for the opportunity we have to get together and meet as a board covering Deer Springs Ranch, covering that by inspiration to be with us as we discuss the business of the ranch and we can have the foresight to make proper decisions to protect and benefit the entire membership of the ranch. We ask a blessing to be upon all of the members of our ranch family in their lives and in their struggles. We, again, are grateful for this beautiful day and thank you for this in the name of my son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
We have to be excused at about 5:30. Just go pick up lunch for 10 minutes or less.
You're excused. Somebody's picking on you already.
I know. They do from the crappy places, but they don't from the good places.
Oh, it's a good pizza today. Okay.
Okay, we got the roll. Everybody's here except Phil Hall. Mariah, do you know who's in the hallway? Did you get everybody's name?
No, I didn't write anything down. Is this my...
No, this is me.
Okay, I'll do it for sure.
Okay, we'll go to Barry for the minutes to be approved.
Scoot over. I put a copy in each of the stacks. If you had to find one of the stacks with the meeting minutes from last meeting, they look like this.
Wow.
Yes, everybody's got
them. Okay. Yeah, we've had them by email.
So I did the font, probably.
Any changes that anybody wants to suggest to the meeting minutes? I have not done meeting minutes going back to Jeff's job back in July. I have no idea how soon I'm going to be able to do that.
We have a recording.
Well.
If you want to go back and do it,
for a couple of reasons.
I know the reasons, but it's really hard.
Anyway, it's hard enough to keep up with what I've got to do.
Yeah. Anybody want to make a motion for the minutes?
I move that we accept the meeting minutes for the October 7th meeting.
I'll second that.
Aye.
Okay. Go to Jody for the budget report.
Okay. You don't have this piece of paper. I have that one.
Two pieces, two sheets?
Well, one sheet. Oh, that's your other one.
I thought there were multiple pages.
Just make sure you have this out. We'll get that in a minute, but I want to just give the breakdown. So we have, after last meeting, Mariah went ahead and transferred the $3,800 from the checking into the savings, and that's our big equipment reimbursement fund. So that's been done. So in our savings now, we didn't do the one, we added another piece of equipment to our fund for next year, but we didn't add that in. We just stuck with the $3,800. We have $15,353 in savings. We have over $42,889 in checking, and the ranch manager's account is basically $1,600. So everybody got the last corrected, final, but just that I said, I had to make some corrections because after doing who needs a copy of the budget? Anybody? Final.
When's the last final coming out?
The last final coming out. Yeah, the insurance came up when we applied for the records insurance. They didn't ask we had a pawn or that we said they asked if we had a paying pool. I said no. And they asked a whole bunch of questions that we were open to. So they came back and said, oh, you didn't say you had fishing or a pond for swimming, so we're going to up you a little bit. And they did. This was like $50 or something. So I had to adjust that. And then there was something in here that...
Have we ever checked with any other carriers or providers?
Yes, we have.
To see if we're getting a lot of bang for our buck.
Yeah.
I just saved a ton of money when I shopped around.
Yeah. We have that independent guy that does that for us. And he did check that when we talked about, what, 2 years ago about the fourth start. He went through. And this is just the director's policy. And yes, we did.
Yeah.
We shopped it pretty good when we got it.
I would think that we would be a high priority customer for somebody we've never had a client. Yes, we have like
the horse, I think.
Horseback riding. There's been a few claims over the years. We deserve to be treated well, but we're not paying the crop as far as liability goes.
And we are kind of out there. So there's some things that like those groups are not familiar with, and who has ponds that they swim in anymore. And
ponds, livestock, dirt roads,
accessibility
to fire stations.
We save kind of money by just shopping our propane.
I agree. We need to shop it around every year just to see what we can come up with. And I think we've done that in the last year. It's just a matter of every year doing it again.
Yeah. So the other part I had to change on the budget was the Wi-Fi. Last year it was squirrely all over the place, the Wi-Fi from HughesNet and whatever the other person was. And it was also mixed in the same category. Now that we have it split out, it lowered that, so we fixed that. I did say that. All right. Now you can look at this financial forecast. And don't get crazy and don't jump out of your seats and scream and yell. We have extra money this year. Looks like we've got the property tax paid, we've got the quarterlies done of the last, the third quarter, the fourth quarter we paid in January. So, looks to be, unless anybody knows, like, we've got, I estimated in here, still I left on $4,000 for auto expenses because we just never know sometimes. The propane, I put $1,500 for HQ and $2,500 from the cabin. We have the bill from Garcane, but we don't know about the Meredith, so I'm just leaving that be until we know any more than that. Everything else is more estimates to the end of the year about from what our monthly payments are. And when you get down to the bottom line, we have $20,000 left over, about $21,000 left over.
Have we already taken out all the expenses of the water tank and
has what's been done so far? Yeah, but now
that's already included.
This only goes up to October 31st, so I don't know if anything that's happened past that, but I know we're going to have testing.
Well, there's a little bit. I just as much, but I bought some stuff the other day.
Augments.
It's only $60, basically.
Oh, I forgot to mention here, under the heavy equipment, we did add on another $1,200. I added on $1,500, actually, for the two new grader tires. I know Joe said they're supposed to be $600 each.
Yeah, there were 600 each, approximately. He said between 500 and 600. He didn't have the exact price. He only had one tire in stock, so I told him to go ahead and put it on. He couldn't repair the other one, so we could buy another tire later this year or first.
I put on 1500 to account for them putting it on whatever they do. I don't think they balance them, do they?
I don't think so.
$1,000 estimated income on the grading fee.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, saw that in a note.
It was how much?
$2,000.
And this year instead of 12, or that's what they proposed.
So, with the excess in the 18,000 range now, 18,000, 19,000, we can maybe do. Is it too late to do brush hogging, that kind of thing, or we can maybe hit that?
We just ran out of money.
Okay.
We spent our money, our funds, getting the line, the fences in line. The fences are down.
I'd like to ask a question on that.
Oh, fencing?
Oh, you mentioned
the fences?
Brush hogging.
Yeah.
For the rabbit brush and whatever.
We can discuss that on Article 6 instead of the budget.
Right. When it's appropriate.
So, yeah. Basically, so department people start thinking about, like, do we start adding more money to different departments to get more stuff done now? We have a couple months left, whatever the weather allows us.
Or do we look at our wish list and go, okay, we can do the store remodel, we can put solar on cabin 8, we can think about putting in that septic system for an RV slab. You know, we have enough money to do that. So, or we put it in savings. So, on the table, that's where that is. Now, to tell you about, you know, you're thinking, well, how did we end up with that much money over? Am I not planning correctly? Are we categorizing too high when we make our budget? Well, we got this way because we had an extra $2,300 come in from Larry for the wildlife. We've had over $7,300 come in from past due assessments. We had still $7,000 remaining in our auto expense category that wasn't used. Typically, these things are all used up. We have about $4,200 left in the cabin category, but we're thinking that's going to be the propane when that's said and done, so don't do anything with that. We have we have $10,000 left over in the fuel category, and you know that one. We budgeted $14,000 this year, because every time we budgeted $10,000 before, we were running into $12,000 and $13,000. These guys just don't go anywhere, but then again, you guys are all picking up parts and stuff for them.
We haven't done any tractor work or used fuel for very little. We brush truck the ranch area and behind the ranch house, and that's the only fuel that we've used. Instead of large areas that are that need attention.
So that's where $10,000 came from. We saved $8,700 from ranch transit starting in April versus January, and we have about $4,700 left in the road.
$4,700.
Yeah, we've saved like $1,800 in store supplies. We haven't really stopped the store and did a lot of sales this year, and we've saved $700 in summer help. So all that adds together, giving us what we have now. I think our budget's still good. I think we stick with the numbers that we carry on the budget. But this is good. This is really good news. We have extra. So how you guys want to split that up?
I think for right now we put it in savings.
Yeah.
And use it as needed. I would like to make a proposal because we actually need desperately to take some action on
savings,
and then identify specific things that can be done rather than just, those things need to be done.
Rush off.
So
my plan was, because I spent all of my money on what was most important, and that was get in line. We're in line with the taxes, and so next year I would plan to spend the lion's share of the budget that I had on rabbit brush. We could get a jump on that because I have to wait until I have money in order to do that, but I have equipment and everything lined up to do that if we're paying money. But there is an advantage if we fund. There's a great advantage to
holding off
to wait, but we have to start at least do some.
There'll be more rabbit brush next year.
We have to.
Okay, I'll get
you. Boy, we have a bumper crop of rabbit brush.
Yeah.
Turns out that every time you damage the rabbit brush, you mow it down and damage it, it shoots out four times the amount of sprouts to try to recover from what you did. So, I mean, we're growing a whale of a crop.
How much do you want to set aside to do that between now and the end of the year?
I might have a lot better deal than for wet brushing rabbit brush. So I need to check into that. It was $110 an acre. I have a map of it. Let me look at that for a minute. We'll come back to that one.
Why don't we cover that during your section?
When I get to that far.
Through these sections, we can talk about who needs much, what for what. Okay, any questions?
I mentioned I have to go to the Ponce Mountain Landowners Association meeting tonight in Orville. I hope we'll learn from them something that we can do. I would like to start doing something. We've been getting money from wildlife, and up to this point, we've never invested. I mean, we've just put that money in the general fund, and it's used on the ranch, which is great, but we've never done anything specifically, in my opinion.
I did, for water and stuff, for wildlife, for the game, and I put the deer in there. I sent pictures of deer that we pulled out of a mud hole and tried to apply for funding to improve some water systems so we got a permanent water source that would benefit livestock and wildlife.
But I mean, from the money we've gotten from wildlife, the ranch has really never spent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, on doing that, are you proposing to make more catchments for water for the wildlife and that kind of thing?
That, or I don't even know for sure. I'd like to find out from them tonight. Are there things we can do? I don't think there's anything we can do that's going to up the amount of money we can get, but I feel somewhat of a responsibility to use the money we've been getting to improve that direction instead of, I mean, that money's been coming into the ranch and been used on roads and on cabins and on whatever the ranch spends money on.
Amen. Amen. It's been woefully neglected, the whole wildlife agriculture end of it, and there just hasn't been a good plan. But we do have a plan, and all of that was going to benefit wildlife.
Yeah, there's a big crossover between anything we do for wildlife is agricultural. So that's.
And so we're moving forward now for agriculture, in a very, and now we can even do even more damage.
You two guys want to work on that to try to figure out where we go on that next year? And we don't have anything in the budget plan for that next year, but we could use some of this.
Larry?
Any of y'all that are out there in that room are welcome to come and sit in here if you want.
I've been listening outside. I got a question, and maybe you can answer it. You know, when we cleared out the Half Moon this year, and water's still up pretty deep in there, and why does not the Red Pond?
The soil type there at the Red Pond is so porous that it just, and it was never created as a catchment to hold water. It was just a silt trap to prevent all that flooding and silt from going down through the meadow. So, that, I mean, historically, way, way back when, that was just created as a place to drop the silt.
Okay. And now you've experimented a little bit with the erosion problems that we're having. And so we can, if we have somebody that can come in and do some bigger work, we can create some ponds that aren't going to be water catchments, but they're going to be more silt trap, but they're going to slow the water down and stop the erosion from coming. So if we build some of those, then we can make some headway, I think, in the erosion. We have some terrible erosion problems that are happening. In 20 years, you won't even recognize the fields that are coming into the ranch. It'll look totally different.
Now, how about the hidden pond? It doesn't seem to hold water anymore.
Which one?
The hidden pond.
The one that's halfway up the road on the middle canyon.
Same thing. It's got a big gravel bank underneath it. So if we lined it with some clay, it would hold it some. A lot of those ponds were created mainly as a temporary storage, to catch the spring runoff or big storms. Catches it, holds it, which does regenerate the groundwater. And so it's feeding and holding water for our springs and our wells, but to actually hold it and have a lake or a pond, we'd have to either put in a liner.
Clay is the cheapest, but bentonite is layer of bentonite on the pond and it'll hold water.
Seems that
if you wanted it to.
I know that the hidden pond was kind of, I don't know that elaborate is the right word, but it. But it was set up one time, apparently, to hold water because of the gate valve, which is buried now that you can't even see it.
We dug it out. It's been probably 8 years ago. But by the time you dig that deep to get down to the head gate, then you start getting into that gravel seam that lets it leak out. We could revisit those and see. It was originally built and had the head gate and a ditch. There was a ditch that left that and went out and around the edge of
the
rock hollow. But
I see where it comes out. Yeah.
Since we don't flood irrigate and nobody wants to go out and manage water and shovel, it's kind of a...
If we did work on that, we'd have to... It's got to be a benefit versus cost thing that we're looking at. What is the benefit of...
We're getting off track here. Why don't we get on to finish the budget? This is agriculture. We'll cover that on agriculture. But otherwise, we're gonna duplicate ourselves here. All right. What else you got left, Jody?
That's
it. Okay. On number four, Phil had assessment fees. He asked me to remove that, so that's done. We'll go to five.
Sorry, you can hold that over to next meeting.
He said he wanted to drop it completely.
Okay.
he was concerned about something and he was looking at it wrong. He said it wasn't necessary, so drop that subject totally. Number five, you want to have anything with Dave Turley you want to cover?
Well, based on the information I've gotten so far, then he wants us to write basically a release of liability for him for the diving board that's now been removed. I don't have a problem with that.
No.
So unless somebody has a problem with that.
Then well, I understand he had a problem also with the docks. He wanted to have
right.
a liability release on that. And there again, that's not a problem as far as I'm concerned.
As long as the docks are something that we want to keep for the benefit of the members, then whoever built them, there's no reason not to. I mean, if there's a problem with them, and they're dangerous.
You checked a couple of them. You got some boards fixed, I think, on them, didn't you? Number one and number two.
As far as I know, they're in fairly good shape. One should be probably rebuilt maybe next year, but other than that,
well,
it's got some flaws, but nothing dangerous.
So unless there's an objection, then I'll just write something up for Bill to sign that says we acknowledge that Dave, you know, has worked on him, but release him from liability or on the.
I
say let's do it. I agree. Have a vote on it. Let's do it. Okay.
The docks are more of a benefit. Anyway, because I think they're safer than a slick, muddy bank.
Yeah. Somebody on the speaker? Vance, did you say something?
Joe, this is Vance. Okay?
Yeah.
There? Joe.
Go ahead, Vance.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we carve out this exception, where is this going to stop? How many other exceptions are we going to carve out? And do we seriously want to put our insurance at risk for hazardous, because one person wants to conduct a hazardous activity on association ground? Think it over. I don't know the answer. I'm kind of surprised that y'all are going for this because it's we talked about it before and Barry, you know better than anybody that any release can be undone in a flash by some other attorney.
That's why I'm really not concerned too much with we give him a release saying we're not going to hold you responsible. That doesn't mean if somebody gets hurt on it that they can't look and ask in a deposition who built it and hold whoever built it responsible. That's why it really doesn't make a lot of difference. If there are things that are out there that are happening that shouldn't be happening as far as dangerous activities, then we need to be more proactive. This is water under the bridge, as far as I can see.
It's kind of a non-issue, and I don't know why he's even asking for it, but if he wants it, it's really not a big deal in my opinion. But
maybe in our letter we should also state no further development of the ponds can go without being approved by the board.
That's fine. I have no problem with that.
More so than that,
any further development on association on property without prior approval from the board is not acceptable. We could also put that in the newsletter saying that things have been done in the past and notify everybody nothing can be done to the ponds or without approval by the board.
Well,
safety
issue. I don't know a lot of the background. Did they just go out there and start building stuff?
Here's my understanding that he built the diving board, and I'm the one who looked at it and said it's too high and the water is too shallow. There's some. Now he built it apparently for his family when they were out there. I don't know that, but I think that's what it was. He probably should have taken it down when he left, but he didn't. He leaves it. If we leave it up, then we're accepting. We're saying, well, this is what we want. And if somebody drives off there and breaks their neck and kills a kid or something, we're all in for it, including Dave, because he built it. But it's down now.
But at this point, it's down.
It's down now, and it's gone. Alan removed it, and as far as the docks are concerned, they've been out there for as long as I can remember, so we've already bought into that.
20 years ago.
And I say that, you know, that he shouldn't have to bear any responsibility. We've already accepted that. And a lawyer knows where deep pockets are. If they sue everybody if something, and that doesn't mean he would get off scot-free if he has anything for a lawyer to take.
Well,
if somebody got hurt on a dock. That's my idea, that a dock is safer than a slick, muddy bank that you're standing on and slipping and falling down in.
Vance, can you hear me?
Yeah, I had to take you off mute. Go ahead.
Is there something else that you're aware of or worried about? I mean, the diving board has been taken down.
So is the zip line.
So Joe's just making my point. He brought up the zip line. Where does this stop? You know, who's next? What are they who's next? And what are they going to want to do?
Did you hear?
You can think about it on a case by case. You know, here's the thing. You know,
it has to be approved by the board.
Well, yeah, if they do that.
Otherwise, we take it down and send a letter. Same thing we did here.
Okay.
The only way we can address that, I think, is in a newsletter. There should be a volume button on here. Yeah. Anyway, Vance, I think as far as a notice to all the general membership that you can't improve or do something on association ground without permission is a good idea. It should go out in a newsletter to the general populace, because there's no way of us anticipating and reading people's minds as to what they may or may not do. And when we find out about it, we need to say, no, you can't do that until you've got approval. You can't improve association property or change it without permission. So
then I propose next time we work on the rules and regs, we just add that as one of our rules and regs.
Well, I think in the past we've taken it as common sense. You don't change property that belongs to somebody else. But apparently we need to spell it out.
Yeah.
Does that work?
So is the, as usual, you know, this kind of took longer than I thought it would. Is the consensus that it goes back in, but he takes it down every time he leaves, or what's the story here?
The consensus is that he can't build anything else on the ranch without having permission to do so.
Yeah, I'm talking specifically about the diving. I was talking specifically about the diving board. Is it, if it comes back, is it there to stay?
No,
it's gone.
Vance, I don't think he should be allowed to build one in the first place, because I think that since it's on our land and he always brings the guests with him and one of them, we could still be liable no matter what if he builds something. We can't allow people to build something on our association property, because ultimately, whatever somebody does, whether they just do it on their own or not, we still are held responsible in a court of law. Am I right on that? If we leave it up.
So he could build one on his own property.
But Vance's question is what if he builds it, though, and then takes it down?
He's not allowed to build it, period. Okay, and if we catch him, that's right, we need to say stop and take it down right now until you come get approval.
Okay.
I'm happy to include that in the letter / release. So at this point, if there isn't further discussion, I move that I put together a letter to that extent, send it to the board members for a final approval of the text, and get it sent out to them.
I'll second.
Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Okay, number 6, Brad Hunt. The lease negotiations, fencing. What do you got?
Just want to start with the lease, but most important.
Take a couple minutes on the lease. I sent out a red line to everybody to review what the lease now contains. The significant change from the last draft.
Hey, Barry, could I just make a notation for the minutes, whoever's going to take that? Barry has been doing the lease with Doug, and I have recused myself from voting on the lease because of obviously conflicts of interest or being accused of conflicts of interest. And so that's why Barry has taken the lead role on the cattle lease, and I just wanted to have that clarified and put in the minutes.
Okay. And for future reference, if anybody else wants to do these in the future, they're more than welcome to spend the hours and hours. I'm not hogging this for this opportunity to myself. So,
has everybody read it, or are you just reading it now?
Okay. I had a couple things that add in there.
Okay.
On number one, on the term, the statement is Hunt agrees to pay the annual lease payment for the year 2016-17 under the previous agreement in the amount of $10,000. We're kind of, the verbiage here is the previous agreement was $12,000. So
actually, it wasn't because the fence wasn't done. The previous agreement said that he only paid $10,000 until the fencing was done. Conditioned on the fencing being done.
Right. Because we've been under that agreement for the last 4 years, do you want to change that, say, previous agreement, the amount? No. We have changed the new agreement to the amount of $10,000 to conform with our
No, because the $10,000 that he's paying this year is under the existing contract. We're not changing that. We're replacing it beginning when we sign this, which hasn't happened yet, and it's $12,000 a year after that.
It just seems like the previous agreement, it states that the previous agreement was the amount of $10,000, which is confusing, but that's what you're saying. Legally, that's what that says.
If you read the terms of the original agreement, that's what it says. It's $12,000 conditioned upon the
condition
done.
All right, so if you're comfortable with that verbiage, I thought it was a little bit weird.
It's just basically a reflection that we acknowledge. This isn't changing the original agreement. We acknowledge that this year that he's paying $10,000. It had said $12,000, but I talked to him and he said, look, I've been paying $12,000 and haven't gotten what was promised to me. So this year I propose to pay $10,000, which is really all with the O's, and he could come back and say, by the way, you owe me $6,000. But we'll pay $10,000 this year to finish this out. From here moving forward, the fencing's done, so we're good to go. $12,000 is no longer adjustable or conditioned. Does that make sense?
Yes, and as this has come up in the minutes, then maybe we could just clarify it there for future boards that they could refer back to this if there was ever a question, which was he had a $10,000 contract with $2,000 a year. So if we would fulfill the fencing obligations, which we did not do, and he is willing to forgive us $8,000 that he's paid and not go after us for any further collection or anything on that. And that should be notated in the minutes for further board to see also. From this point forward, he'll forgive us the money that he's already paid, but doesn't want to have to forgive us this year.
No, I totally agree with that. And
don't get me wrong, you're probably reading some resistance to changing the language, because each time I change the language, I send it to Doug, and it usually takes us about 10 weeks or something to hear back. So unless it's critical, then, and I don't know what your other changes are, but unless they're really material, then I would rather leave it and say, Doug, this is the last one you looked at. You've already seen it. Let's get it signed.
Yeah.
So that's don't feel like I'm brushing it off.
No, and two typos. Well, two.
Typos we can fix.
Number six. And the third sentence down at the very end. The water systems used within the operation of the cattle and public shall retain at least, you can just skip out the S.
I'm not finding where you're at.
Okay, third sentence down. At the very right, the very end of it, on number six. Horses shall remain.
I'm not even seeing
the within the operation.
Oh,
there we go.
Oh, I'm on the other.
You're on the old one.
Well, number six. This is an old one. Okay, the first sentence down.
Horses shall remain.
At least as good. It says it is.
Yeah.
Or maybe in at least. That's good.
Yeah. That's probably what it was supposed to be, but I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
Okay?
And then, just a small thing, but yummy. Number 11, the last sentence.
Okay.
You take out the duh in front of DSROA.
Yeah, I tried to make them consistent as the association.
Yeah.
I guess, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, I'm just okay. Yeah, just concerned that in future they're going to go a little bit, but okay. But as long as you guys know it is, that's okay.
On the $10,000, $12,000 difference?
Yeah.
Well, the new contract takes away everything from the
right.
contract.
Right.
So we start fresh.
We'll
none of that will make any difference as soon as that is.
Okay.
As soon as we get two
signatures. Everybody realizes
on that.
And understands that the original contract was $10,000 to be added $2,000 once the fencing is done. We never did the fencing, but he did, in fact, start paying the $2,000 more.
So I'll remember that in this room. This will come up. Okay.
I don't have any changes, but I do want to have something clarified.
Okay.
Where am I at? Okay. Number 10, fencing, all parties agree that all previously designated fences and buildings should be completed by DSROA, and the last three words makes me nervous, has been completed. When your brother was on the board, Ben, he made the comment at a meeting that all the fencing had been completed.
Mm-hmm.
But then Brad came up either, I think this year or maybe last year, said that was incorrect and that the fences weren't completed, and that's why we needed to do something. And you were right. So I just want to be sure that everybody knows it and it's in the recording that the statement now has been completed is a correct statement. That is correct, right? We're not going to say, well, I was wrong.
That is completely correct.
Okay.
That came from Doug.
Okay, because I say it came from, you know, Ben said it was, and then everybody backed it, and then,
no,
then Brad corrected everybody, which is a good thing. We want to be correct.
Yeah.
So no, we are correct this time. It's all been completed.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
I believe that in previous contract, once they've been completed, who now is responsible for any damage to the fences? I thought now that they're completed, DSROA has done their job, but I don't see in this contract from now forward that upon that completion, who is responsible for fixing the fences?
It's in here.
We're not going to, is it? Sure. We shouldn't be getting a bill with them. If that's the case, the way it's done,
yeah.
It's not.
If cows run through the fence, he's completely responsible. Replace the fence, maintain the fence as it currently exists. It talks in here about maintenance. Hunt's responsible for maintaining water systems and fences. You got one. So
I
want
to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I had the same question.
Mariah, do you have a question?
I just have one other clarifying question just for my end. In number 12, the second part of number 12, in the cabin usage, from my understanding from reading this, there is not going to be any paper plane needed here because Doug and his wife are going to be able to just use what they're bringing on their own. Does there need to be any verbiage in here regarding if they have extra people that come and work with them?
The assumption is, and my discussion with Doug was, in this paper pen, is when they use the cabins, they bring their own linens and those kind of things. They are going to use the cabins just like everybody else, and they will have other people's staff and otherwise stay with them when necessary, especially in the spring, early, and the fall. I think that they need to be treated just like pretty much any other member as far. I mean, we could say, okay, well, you got to pay for play depending on how many people you have there, and then we have to offset that by them bringing their own linens and that kind of stuff. Seemed messy to me, and so I figured it was an offset that was fair, not charging them for toilet paper and soap, and allowing them to take care of their own laundry stuff.
And I don't have a vote on here, but my opinion is simply that, and since he's gifting us $8,000, I think that covers quite a lot of paper play.
So the understanding and the discussion was, no, there's not going to be paper play or reimbursement for those kind of things as far as them and the health that they have to have there.
Staying with them.
Yes.
And so, Dan, one other question. This also does clarify that there will be 7 to 10 days in the spring and then 14 to 21 in the fall. Just reflecting back from this year's experience where it was pretty consistent pretty much through the weeks of the year that I had them reserved in the cabin. There were 2 days that they weren't out there, and I think that might be where he may have had a misunderstanding about being kicked out early, which didn't happen. But anyway, that's quite often. So that brings up if there will be people in and out that often, I just, how close are we going to be to this?
This is the way that this is worded now, it's self-regulatory. It allows all of our members first access to all of the cabins so everybody, every member has first access up to a week before, and then after that, then if anybody's, you know, it's free game for anybody to come in. And so if nobody's using it, then basically, just as it states, then he has the right to come in and to stay in the cabinet if nobody's using it. Oftentimes, it'll only be because we're requiring him to live under our code of rules, then he has to reserve like he's been reserving,
right,
even if he's not staying in the cabin.
Right.
But if we work closely with our ranch managers who's there, who knows when he's coming and talks to him all the time on a daily basis, then I think there's flexibility built even in that.
And I don't know that I can adequately address every detail in this agreement as to how that can. The cabin usage has been more than I anticipated when we discussed this, because I thought it would be here and there. But if you understand the operation of cattle, as I explained,
yeah,
if the cabin's going to be otherwise empty and they're going to take the care of the linen and cleaning, then that I'm okay with that. I don't know whether anybody else is. Well, I guess we'll find out when we go.
Would the board expect me to follow up on each of those visits to know and to be up to date on what's happening, if payments need to be made, dependent on that situation?
I think just like anybody else, we need to have, you know, have the cabinet reviewed, and if there are damages or if there are things used, then we need to be notified. And I think I put in here that they'll be billed just like anybody else for damages or for use and that kind of stuff. So is that your understanding?
Yeah. He should be just treated like not any different than anyone else.
So if a cabin is left dirty, then we need to say it was left dirty, and here's what our normal cleaning fee is that we charge people.
Absolutely. But we need to do that weekly. We can't wait 3 or 4 weeks. So
if you see something.
That being said,
otherwise who was there last.
I'm pretty much confident that we haven't billed one single person this year any cleaning fees. Is that correct, Alan? And there's been many people who needed to be billed. So we write a pretty mean contract, but we don't have a very good fight.
Well, I think that we need to transition to being more consistent in charging people, because it will regulate appropriate behavior much better than what the contract says if they get a bill.
Yeah.
So.
And I think I can help out a little better. I thought, what can I do to help here? I think I'll just try and make an effort to get a hold of Alan after each checkout and just follow up at that point.
And if there are any other questions, I move that we, with Jody's typographical error changes, she just walked out. I guess we can get a second. I move that we accept the new livestock grazing agreement so that we can move forward next year and apply for government funds to help us out with our fencing and otherwise.
I'll second
it. Okay, you'll second it. Everybody in favor?
Aye.
I only had one real quick question. You feel good with the on 8 also? You'll make every effort on the ponds for fishing. Is that in pretty good shape there for the fencing? The cattle can't get in? Because there was a point there in time between pond 3 and pond 2. The cows were going under a tree and getting in on that direction. I don't know if that's been fixed.
From the road access?
From the road access.
I think that's...
Has that been corrected?
I believe so.
Okay.
Okay. If it hasn't, there it is in the contract, and we need to make every effort to make that happen.
Okay.
Did you want to vote on that, Jody? Everybody else?
Oh, yes, she did. Yes, she did. You got the fencing at the Johnny Brown. Do you need to talk about that? Are we done?
Who put that on there?
I don't know.
You had it on there several months ago, and then we missed the board meeting, and we didn't anyway, so I just followed it through.
Oh. I wanted to, whoever put it on there, they could talk about it.
You brought it up.
I think the idea was to contact BLM and the other property owners to see if they'd split the cost of fencing the board boundary fence, but I don't know that discussion's ever happened, so I think...
I talked with the BLM this month, and we can get fencing from them. I think they must suspect whether or not we just want to take fencing and then not use it on the project, because they want to give it this in fairly limited amounts and not anywhere near enough to actually perform the fence. But I think if we begin negotiations and working with them a little bit more consistently, that we can get BLM help, which we should, because our grazing fees go toward improving
the BLM grazing permit of how it's designed, and we haven't used anything. We've never asked them to do clean a pond. We haven't got anything for the money that we give them. And so, yeah, the BLM fences on BLM property, I think we can get some BLM fencing for. BLM fences against private property, the rules begin to change a little bit as far as who's responsible for fencing, et cetera. The issue with Podunk, and I've talked with the Podunk guys, and now I've talked with the guy, the main cows that come in are Brinkerhoffs, although Lefevers and Hamblins also run with the Brinkerhoffs on that side of our existing boundaries. So this is Johnny Brown right here. The red line represents our grazing boundaries. And so you can see that we borderline private property for a period of our grazing boundary, but there's much of it that has nothing to do with private property. But the cows come in, they're coming in from the north, they're coming down through, and they get in on Podunk and Johnny Brown. And so they're willing to, I've talked to them about them doing a work day, and we can do a work day and combined with Alan and anybody else who's willing to help out and get some materials and start fixing some of that fence and at least make an effort. Because to my knowledge, I know of no work or no effort that Deer Spring Ranch has ever done around our borderline on that area, which happens to be a problem. The FYI, the real problem for this is a problem because we have members out there who are concerned, and that's why this is a, otherwise it's not really a problem for Doug Hunt and his cows. He rarely uses that area and isn't very concerned about having his cows necessarily up there and using it. The real problem that we're having is down on this borderline, which is a long ways down by Little No Man's Mesa, and we're feeding 30 head of cows conservatively every year that don't belong to us on Deer Spring Ranch grazing permit. And
this year have been mainly been Norris's?
Mainly Norris's. We had Juniper Hill cows come in and graze off of that, which has never been an issue before. And so I don't know if that's going to be continued to be
I hope not.
Happen or anything, but they grazed in and grazed off of us. Johnson's.
The private lot line is not fenced, but the perimeter.
Is that the
grazing perimeter down through it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we ever tackled that. Okay.
Well,
we can't get cows. There is water as you leave slide, and we put salt over there and tried to see if they want to. We can't get cows to stay over there. So they don't want to be over there. So that's not even an area that we use unless we are able to come in and clear some of the PJs out of the pinyon juniper and stuff out of there, and then we can improve on that as a grazing area, which would be an overall, and that would be in a large scale, you know, a 10-year plan or a 20-year plan as far as our grazing is concerned. I'm hoping to get help with materials down here. We worked on that fence for over a mile. Alan and I built a really nice gate down in the bottom of the wash. The first time I've ever seen the wash gated down there. Time after time, we'd go down there, and the gate's left wide open by the people who drive through on four-wheelers. And you know, it's pretty frustrating, but people aren't used to using that. So this is the battle that really is affecting us. And so we have a plan to do that, to work on that.
And do we have a forecast of time on the Podunk fence? When we can take care of it? Is that next spring? Next summer?
Well, right now, I think, I hate to commit that I'm going to do that in the spring because the most important thing is down on this other fence line. But if they're willing to match with a labor team and intensity, if their intensity, then we should have that become a higher priority. They would move to a higher priority. So if they get ready and they want to do that, and we can begin working on that. But we should develop a plan and continue to communicate with them, because that's the main thing, is if they know that we're willing
and able, and that we've got the venting material available for them. And I haven't rode that whole fence line, so I can't tell you how much of an effort that's going to be. If it's just a hole, that's not a big deal. We can do that easy. If it's a half a mile, then that's a lot bigger deal.
I figured pretty much the whole length of it is pretty deteriorated.
Brinkerhoff claimed that this corner up here, some a landowner up there have taken down fence back along there. And I haven't been up there to see. So for the minutes, Podunk is a concern. We're concerned because our members are concerned up there, and we want to take action and work with them as a team to accomplish, to alleviate their concerns and the problems.
Now, John had some questions on agriculture you wanted to cover. He shut you off earlier.
Oh, well, it brought up the rabbit brush, and you've basically run out of funds to do that this year. But it needs to be done this year. Now, my understanding from you, and by the way, this is Steve Lloyd, who's the new owner of Lot 162, he and his wife.
Welcome, Steve. Do you want to tell us what you do and your expertise?
Restoration projects, removing seeded juniper, fencing, spring development, sage habitat, grouse habitat, mule deer habitat. So we go in, grind it up, spray it, get rid of it, basically put the grasslands back in where they're supposed to be, which Deer Springs Ranch is in huge need of in all the lower draws and areas.
Do you spray, have a sprayer on your brush hog?
Yeah, I boom spray right behind the brush hog. Immediately. It's easier to do it with the rangers because I can haul more water.
I know.
The other way is inject through the head to get a better coverage.
What's the width of your brush hog?
8 feet.
We currently have only been able to utilize our own brush hog, which is like 5 feet or something like that, which is a ton of fuel.
This will take up to 5-inch trees. 6-inch trees.
Yeah. You should see, go to my place, see what it's taking.
Well, we'll need to coordinate with you. Roland Bean, who's also a member, has purchased a 26-foot brush hog. So in some of the large sweeping areas, he can go a lot more economically. He can do, you know, 5 times what we've been able to in one pass. And some of those areas, especially the areas that are,
yeah, it's going to be good in the sagebrush, rabbit brush, the smaller brush. His stuff will eat up a lot heavier stuff.
We could actually start reclaiming some of our grain, our rangeland back, So, anyway, Roland has that, and I wanted to bring that up because he also would be like Steve and be willing to work with individual lot members who have projects or things that they want done on their property also. The key with the rabbit brush, keep in mind, is that if you do not spray it, you're intensifying your problem, and you have to spray within 15 minutes of attacking that plant. Otherwise, it begins
declared war, and it starts fighting back immediately.
Right, and it develops a waxy surface that protects the plant that was injured, and then if you come by at past 15 minutes, then it's protected itself against the herbicide that will kill it. But if you cut it and spray it within 15 minutes, it's dead.
One stem turns into 10 stems.
Does Roland have that ability too on that machine?
Yes. Yeah, he's preparing to do, but he can do large areas, like for example, the
entrance.
Well, yeah, but one area that we really haven't focused much on is our airstrip. I mean, that's a mile long out there, and it's big, wide areas, and it's mainly taken over not by rabbit brush, but by sagebrush. And one sweep through that at 26 feet, you know, we could really make our place look pretty in a big hurry with some of these guys coming in here. We have a great year, I think, looking forward, and especially if we have some funds that we can begin with.
another thing that I add to that that you should be looking for is some of those areas is to go back through when we're done with a no-till seeder and put some dry, put this proper seed back in at the same time. And I think that some of the funding allows for that. So.
And I need to talk with you individually where we can spend some time because you have a lot of expertise that I would like to take advantage of there. So, see.
What's your wife's name?
Kirsten.
Perfect.
And your dad may have already. I think your dad has some.
Oh. The rabbit brush ideally needs to be attacked while it's dormant. It is now dormant. So up until snow flies, we can begin attacking rabbit brush if we have the funds to spray it at the same time that you cut it.
But BLM allows up to 6 inches of snow, I think, when they're actually
when they're funding for the project.
Yeah.
You can knock it down and then come back in the spray with or with a different mixture of herbicide and attack the plant that's left instead of being able to just kill the plant immediately when you're cutting. But by far the best way and labor saving, money saving, and effectiveness is to kill that plant when you cut it.
And the tore down won't affect the grass, so the grass gets a big jump start.
Huge. It'll be huge. What do you got, John?
My question is, you know, we have the ability to brush hog down the grass. What about the poison now? Tell me about that. If we were doing it next week,
what about what?
The poison that we put on it. Is that something that's expensive?
Yeah.
Is it something we can get right away?
You need to be licensed to use Tordon. Are you licensed?
Yeah, we can use the cheaper version of Tordon if we wanted to do it right away through tractor supply or something.
It's easy to get licensed. You got to come to St. George. You got to go to the county building. You got to do an open book test. It costs us $20, and we can get a license to do it. But you do have to be licensed to use
for commercial grade Tordon, which is better because you got a 1 year residual on the commercial.
Yeah. So we should pursue that.
That's something I can pursue also for Utah.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is I brought this up for Joe when he was out here last week, and I was looking at the roads there, and I know that Steve, when we first met, we were talking about the rabbit brush and also the willows down there. And that's something, you know, that he indicated that he could take care of. And so I mentioned Joe. I said, well, you know, I don't know when we're going to do this, when Brad plans on doing this, but I says, we have rabbit brush coming right up to the road. To me, it looks like a fire hazard. If we got people coming through and they threw out a cigarette or something. I don't know. I don't know how well that stuff burns. And I told Joe, I said, you know, I'm inclined to take some of my money, and I have $4,700 left, and have Steve to cut some just on each side of the road out of ways. I didn't know how feasible that would be, but that's what's on my brain right now.
I'm not educated enough about all of the equipment, but it seems to me that logically his next to the road you have the dips and everything, he's far better going to be equipped to be able to handle those kind of areas than the big, large...
I've seen what he's done up there.
It's going to be up there, Larry.
You see what he did there? Cleared up.
I was going to talk to you about it anyway because coming from an aspect of road building, it's a whole lot easier to run equipment and maintain and build and shape and crown and ditch roads when you're not just balling up wads of
rabbit brush.
Uh-huh. So before I work on any road, the first thing I do is either mow or peel off all the brush and debris.
Then work.
Before I do any dirt work, it's all
twigs
and sticks and rocks. But to mow it off and clear it off as best you can, then you're dealing with what you want to put back in the road. And so I, you know, my input would be if we can spend it's kind of a cross between agriculture, roads, everything.
Right. Okay. Can they apply for more funding for boom spraying the sides of the road for the ranch, too, or the ranch?
Absolutely.
Through Brad, to his lease, to yearly boom spray the sides of the road.
Absolutely.
Once it is cleared.
See, and that's some stuff that I wasn't aware of. So we need to continue to educate ourselves. I think we're in for some great things happening. Here's the catch-22 right now. For example, Broad Hollow area, they will pay. Actually, they just changed that on my next proposal, so I'll use another one. Up here, heavy mow areas, 75% almost I can get government funding to pay for that to come through there. So our cost would only be 25%. But we don't have the funding yet. We're not funded yet. So the catch-22 is right now is the time where we have to do some work. And I propose if we have some money, we go ahead and begin on some strategic areas. And we try to get funded, and then we really pound it.
And then we'll go after max
then
funding.
Then we really
also
pound it hard the next time. But there's some bad-looking areas. And if it's cheap enough, you know, especially the areas that as you enter the ranch up and through Broad Hollow and the sides of the roads that are become atrocious, yeah. that would be high.
Hey, I'd like to make a suggestion. Why don't you and Steve get together after the meeting or in a day or two, find out which areas would be good to start with, come up with some prices, you come back to the board and we'll make a decision and get somebody licensed to get going on it, because no sense just sitting talking about it. Let's get it out and get done.
We need to do it. That machine that he's using up there right now will literally take it down to the dirt. Literally take it down to the dirt.
Well, while we're all here, do you want to allocate part of those extra funds to go to this right now while we're here?
Then we can just move forward when we get the decision.
Let's do that. Let's make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we allocate $5,000 to go to this?
Yeah, I second that motion.
Is that enough?
We'll come back if
it's
not.
It's a good start.
We don't start, we're dead stopped.
Yeah, we got 5,000 then to start with.
This is allocated for brush hogging and clearing the sides of the road.
Grassland maintenance.
Okay, there you go.
Grassland maintenance. And now, are we going to be able to get some
poison? I'll work with Brad.
Okay.
We'll find some.
Because if we have to, we could use that lesser expense.
You should allocate
going to take
$1,500 to $2,000 for a chemical for
two
Brad.
Two to three. Last time we did that, I think we did three. But
so
we
have the funding to get chemicals to the projects move forward.
Anybody have a problem with we have the commotion that we allocate $3,000 for the poison?
So five
for or maybe with $2,000 for seeding that he used before.
I missed something there. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll make a motion.
We'll use it for
$2,000 for poison.
$2,000 for poison. No chemical treatment.
We'll use it for brush hog removal and for herbicides and pizza.
Okay, so we got two for chemicals and five for things, so a total of seven.
Yeah.
Okay. That's our motion. Are you still seconding it? Okay, we got a motion for up to $7,000 for that. Got a second? All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Now we got pizza. Let's grab a wall.
Okay.
Great.
And then got you.
Doing this affects a lot. It affects the roads. If you look at, like, for instance, Broad Hollow Road where you leave Meadow Canyon, that road used to be 30 feet wide road. Now there's about 10, 11 feet of road and a bunch of rabbit brush, and then the erosions and ditches. So we're solving when the weeds grow up, it prevents our drainage. So we start erosion going where it shouldn't be going, which is usually in the middle of the road because there's ruts and tracks.
So you want to make our interstate go a 2-lane highway now?
Exactly.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to restart. You ready? Let's get going. Where are we at? Agriculture done. We got you two getting together afterwards for a price. We got somewhat going, so then we can start out.
And Roland Bean also will be involved in that.
Okay, we'll go to number seven. That's me. The cabins and a few other things. As far as the cabins go, I talked to Alan about this. We have we have the deadbolt that we installed, and I was down there the last time I was up there, and he said that somebody was coming in, and he didn't come down to get the key, And the next morning, he came down for the key, and Alan asked him, how'd you get in the cabin? He says, oh, I just opened the window and slid in. So he's going to start using the deadbolts for sure, and he's going to start making
dowels or something.
Use some sprinkler pipe or something and prop the windows. So, because all they're doing is causing more damage. And seems like regardless what we do, it seems to something else happens.
So, and we are using the deadbolts now.
Yeah, they're using the deadbolts now.
Every time the phone comes out, it's
good.
Thanks, Alan.
The only thing I'm thinking is if you have to go to town while you're going to be gone for the day, maybe we should have a lockbox down at the headquarters where either myself or John, who's up there all the time, or Brent could get to the key to let people in or out. Otherwise, we could be in trouble. If someone's supposed to show up on Friday and they don't, and he leaves on Saturday and he goes to church on Sunday, and someone shows up, they can't get in with a deadbolt. And we don't want to just leave those deadbolt keys in the mailbox.
Well, so they could show up with something at midnight like they did last night, or the night before last.
Shame on you.
And then, what do they do? Sleep in their car till morning?
Most of them tell me ahead of time. They're coming late, so Alan and I make arrangements.
Yeah,
everyone that tells me they're coming late. If they don't tell me they're coming late.
But my concern is, let's say someone's coming late, and then he got a flat tire, and the late becomes really late, and then he could be in church, or he could be out for the day thinking, well, they didn't show, and I don't know what else to do, because unless someone's at the cabin, we could leave a radio down there, and we can leave a radio in the mailbox, so they could call, and somebody would, but I don't. Something, maybe we have to work out something different. I don't know what to really say on that.
Or maybe, I like your idea of the lockbox. We've needed to have one for years. We need a lockbox that has, like, one key in it, the spare key to get into wherever the keys are, or a spare set of keys. Where are the spare set of keys?
I don't know. They're in the little
office. Okay, so we have a spare set that can go in the lockbox, and then we have the one major key that Brent should have, John should have, maybe you should have, who's ever up there, to get into that lockbox so we don't run into
it. Yeah, but if he's gone and someone shows up, unless he's got a radio to call me or Brent or John, how does he contact us? And that's the problem.
The combo lockbox, you know, at the cabin with the keys in, and like we did at the ranch, you change the combination monthly so that it's never getting out to other people. And then the guest is given the combo to the box that has the keys in it no matter what time they get there.
Something we have to work on. Yeah, it's an idea.
You that's how we're interested. Bottom line is, when you determine the reservation, you can turn the combination to the lock, box on that cabin.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, but I assume they'd be pretty easy to change the combination.
We shouldn't need too many of those, just maybe two or three, because most people show up on time.
Or upper cabin, lower cabin.
Just have two at the ranch house, and we could put them on whatever. Who's ever going to be late, put it on that door, like a realtor lockbox, yeah.
And they come in, they got to sign a waiver, right? And
well, they could sign it the next morning, I would think, I mean, there's only so much we can do. This isn't Motel 6 where there's someone there all the time.
I send them that waiver with their confirmation, so ideally they should print it and be telling to bring
it. Okay, I'll work that out with you.
Let's just figure out
something else. As far as the manager's report, Alan asked me to help him out here. What we've done is we had a problem with the water line, the lower cabins, and Brent and Alan have completely rebuilt it. We've put another drain line in, and we've opened up the reduction line where it goes from 4 inch to 1 inch and took all the sand out. So we're taking the water sample on Wednesday. So hopefully on Thursday we'll have good results for a change, because we got all that.
If it's Wednesday, then you can
go to Canab on Wednesday.
But any other day, you can bring in any other day here. Well, we have to have two tests. as soon as we can get them both confirming that everything.
Which two do we need? We need one for the ranch house?
And same place as we tested last time. We have to test again, and they have to be cleaned twice in a row.
So we got to do the well again also? Are we going to chlorinate the well?
You did four? You did four spots last time. You need to do those same four spots, and if they're clean, then we need to do the same four spots again. And then I send that to the state, and they lift the soil order.
Okay. No, seven passed last time, or eight, so we need to do it again.
Well,
that was one of the four, I thought, because we did the well, the comfort station, and the ranch, and the garden cabin, and cabin seven.
Yes.
Seven passed.
Seven passed. The well only had coliform,
right.
Coliform, or whatever you call it.
Coliform.
The headquarters, the comfort stop, and garden cabin failed. So,
right. So we need to do those three for sure.
But we might as well just test the four again.
Do the do cabin seven. You did seven or eight last time. Do the same one. Yeah. Okay. So do those over again.
So that we can show the state that we're testing consistently the same places.
So anyway, now we got that water line all redone, and Alan also redid the water heater closet on the outside of cabin four. He took the water heater out and rebuilt the whole inside of that with concrete wallboard, so mice can no longer use that as a transfer area. And we won't have time this year, but hopefully next spring, I told him I'll get both of my two Dougs. I got a Doug one and a Doug two. And myself and my wife and his wife, we can go up to cabin four, and I want to do the concrete wallboard around the entire cabin four. And I think we can do that in one day if we have six or eight people working on it. So when they're all up there, I'll try to get that done. Because I think cabin two never had mice show up again, did it?
Inside just the one that was trapped in.
Yeah, we trapped one in there, and the poor guy couldn't find his way out. He was crying. So hopefully we can do cabin four early as well. And then we'll continue on down the next year, try to do seven and eight.
Got a complaint on three.
I don't know what you're going to do on three. Three is going to be a nightmare because that's half that cabin is almost buried like cabin one into the ground, and the dirt's coming up, busting the floor opening, getting in more ways than one, I'm afraid. And there again, the deck.
We dig around cabin three here not too long ago.
No, we dug on the north side of it on three. No, he meant as far as working on three itself. We did. I had Paul dig a trench, and then took away all that brush and try to get the water to go around the cabin. We also want to put a rain gutter on three to help prevent the rainwater from forcing the dirt under it. So putting wallboard around three is going to be harder than the deck all the way to the ground. We'll have to pull the deck.
There's no plan of we were going to address that when Paul was here, right up against the cabin, but
on three.
Yeah,
he said he bought the material for the gutter system.
You gave him the plastic
to go around, but it never was installed, to my knowledge. So that'll be a next year.
We're gonna go back to four, and you can do a roof on it.
Yeah, four. We still gotta get next year. We gotta have an estimate for somebody to put a roof on four, because it looks like a gray-haired old man. It looks looking bad on that roof.
Yeah, we can throw that one back. I'll keep on that.
As far as there's a couple of cabins without the heat source, and we made the decision that we would flat out close those cabins when winter comes next year if we don't have a heat supply in them, because there's no way we can put people in a cabin with no heat.
Well, now we do have that extra dollars.
Yeah.
Maybe we can put some kind of heat in there.
How much was your heater? Do you know, Alan? That we have no idea. They were there. Both of them were there, but they hadn't purchased.
What kind of heater? Is that the buddy heater?
No, the one that's installed in this wall.
The wire?
Just like the buddy heater.
The car line?
It's vented.
Yeah, there's no vent to it.
I mean, the new one will be vented or not?
No, they're not. There's no vent to it at all. You just took it on the wall.
Is that acceptable or non-vented?
Well,
I don't know anything.
You know,
depends on what kind they are. I've got one in my last it's a non-vented propane.
Rick and Nancy got one in their place, the same thing, and they don't have the problem.
Let me find something to you. I have a log cabin that's sealed really good. I get no mice, never had a mouse in it, except when he ate a hole through the screen door, and I fixed that. But I have the propane heater lights in every room. I've come up in the winter, and I light all six or seven of them. And I went over to Brent's one day to do something. I was gone about an hour and a half. When I came back, my hydrocarbon alarm was going off just with those light heaters, just with seven lights. We had a refrigerator. It used to go off with that if I closed all the windows. I bought two buddy heaters last year, and I've used them quite a lot just to take the chill out. Candy gets headaches from hydrocarbons. She has not had a headache. My hydrocarbon has not gone off. I've had absolutely no problems with two of them turned on high for about an hour, and then I turn one off and leave one on low. And it takes the chill from 65 degrees up to about 69 or 70, and we shut them off. No headaches, nothing. So I'm assuming they do a pretty good job, those buddy heaters.
We should check into the price of those heaters, like the one that you have. I think Alan seems to work quite well, don't you think?
Okay.
Is that hardwired
into your program? If I hadn't done it myself, yeah, I wouldn't have believed it, but it actually physically worked. And my cabinet is sealed.
They have Renai.
I've been using them for years.
Renai heaters
get
headaches.
No.
Non-event that won't put out the carbon.
So we have the only when I say something wrong.
But I say buy a Walmart one, you go to real one.
I have a very kick one of these low voltage fans on it too for solar.
Does we need to make a motion to pursue that for this year? Or, like, while we still have it and not wait until next year's budget, we can buy two heaters? So those cabins can be ready to go for
which two cabins have no heaters?
Nine, six, nine,
doesn't have one anymore. We took them out of six, and nine and ten.
But six has a wood stove.
The fire department or the somebody department, they condemned.
Well, they guard
AmeriGas.
AmeriGas shut down cabin six, said you got leaks, so we took them out.
But don't we have a wood stove there?
And nine and ten have the
six. There's a wood stove at six, though, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
So we got a wood stove at six.
So we just need seven.
We don't
nine
have it at
ten.
Nine and ten, though. So I'm not sure that.
Ballpark, how much that cost? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
It was there already? Oh, I don't remember that either.
I think we need to check.
I'll get some prices. I'll get with Grant
and
get some prices. We'll have them by the next meeting.
Let's get.
See, I would like to address what they do with 7 and 8, other than the fireplaces. What is it? If they stay open all winter, I wish Brent was here, but how you going to heat those?
No, I've done it with 7 and 8.
Oh, what he did is he turned on the lamp in the bathroom and let it go. And if you walk in that bathroom, it's black from all the soot from it. I mean, about burns that thing down.
Well, are we not closing down 7 and 8?
Evidently not. They're open through the winter because people come up and use them.
No, we usually close 7 and 8 down December 30th. We shut everything down.
Well, if that's what I'm saying, nevertheless, you got from now until the December the 30th that it's going to freeze. What do you do to keep that system from freezing up the water?
I don't know what they've been doing.
What do you have reservation-wise in 7 and 8 from now until the end of the year?
Okay. Maybe we should shut them down.
We don't have anybody scheduled. Yeah. A lot of times we're going to do things.
I don't know how he does it. I really don't. Unless he goes in there and shuts everything off and winterizes it, and then when somebody comes in, opens it up again, lets them use it, and then winterizes it again.
They kept it open.
They kept it. Historically, 7 and 8 have been open year-round, and they would stack straw up around the foundation, back around the bathroom. They insulate it, and then they would leave a lamp burning in there.
Why don't we invite the brilliance to come in? They can have a party and bring some more straw stuff around.
Yeah, we got to.
What a joke.
That's why I want to put wallboard around 7 and 8 so we can eliminate the
money. Small Renai, they don't put out any fumes. Renai heater, self-standing little Renai infrared type heater.
What do they run on, propane?
Run on propane. They even have a low voltage fan in them that works well with solar.
That's what the buddy heater has, the same thing. Yeah. That's what I got, yeah.
And they're thermostatically controlled. You can mount a remote thermostat or run off a thermostat on your unit.
So the buddy heaters, can you see the flame, or is it like a grid?
It's a
grid that glows.
I've been using them for several years now on the fifth wheel.
Just a grid that glows.
Well, I think they're similar. The Renais and the buddies are just a different brand.
Just different brand.
Similar type heaters.
And they've worked for me and for John. And if Candy will get a headache and a heartbeat. I even had to get rid of my stove because it had five pilots in the oven. That would give her a headache. So these buddy heaters.
You got a headache? How long have you guys been married?
You think it's me?
Yeah. I was going to talk to you about that.
The comment had been made that all cabins would be closed December 31st, including 7 and 8, because of the opening and closing and opening and closing. When we said that, if someone had wanted to come in, and I don't remember who exactly was on the board.
That. We charged them $100.
We charged them $100 to de-winterize. To de-winterize and then winterize again after that, if it was absolutely something that they had to have. But that's what was decided on.
Why don't we wait until December 30th or 31st? Why wouldn't we cut it off December 1st?
Because there were people, but you all can change that. But I think it was because there were people that said, I absolutely
see if there are some reservations. Do you know of any? Are there some in December?
There's only one in December right now.
Quite a few people want to come up at Thanksgiving. That's why we
used to do that.
Yeah, see, I would think that Thanksgiving and then just say, we're closed.
Yeah.
And come back in April. Because we're spending a whole bunch of time messing around with winterizing and unwinterizing.
It puts a heck of a burden on
you. Brent was having to go, and the lines were freezing underneath, and then digging it up.
Well, you're going to have to deal with all kind of weather issues that you don't have to deal with if we're closed after Thanksgiving weekend.
But that decision...
Is there somebody, Mariah, somebody in December now?
It's the second week of December.
Mm-hmm. Really?
But however, I do have to throw out a disclaimer. This could be a cancellation. Not that they have said that now, but just from past history.
Well, I'd say let's.
Do the unforeseeable.
Well,
what I would do is this: have Mariah contact them and say we're considering closing the cabins early. Are you seriously serious? If they are, then we close it right after they're done. But as far as the other cabins, December 1st, let's close them and quit.
Make it next year a guarantee. After Thanksgiving, it's over.
If they're wishy-washy, I mean, we want to serve them. We want to be. They already have a reservation, so on and so forth. If they're really going to come, then we'll figure it out. But in future years, I think we just say December, January, February, and March closed.
I agree,
Joe.
I
think that must be a faulty lamp. Also, if it's putting out that much soot, oftentimes we leave a lamp burning overnight.
Yeah,
I've been in their bathrooms and there's no soot on there.
I leave mine on my bathroom open quite a bit.
So
just
would you?
Black, right? Have you changed the mantle, bud? Maybe just changing the mantle.
I would change the mantle. I would change the whole lamp.
Yeah.
By the way, I found out that Gard came. And I talked to what's his name? Services and help. Justin. He says he can order those propane lamps.
Okay, here's something that the average person doesn't know, and I found out when I built my cabin. When you order those lamp fixtures, you have to specify your altitudes. Because anything over 6,000 feet changes the orifice size, and that could blacken it. If they put an old style on there, if it's set up for sea level, it'll put the soot out. But if you can get it for 6,500 or 7,000 at the upper cabins,
we're still going to have to address some cold weather issues because sometimes it's still freezing in March, April, May. Sometimes it's going to freeze in November. But to make our lives easier, there's not a huge demand. Let's just say December 1st, close it down, and reopen in April, whatever our normal opening date is.
Usually around 15th,
but it's
the lower one.
Brian will call and they close it down. Or send them an email or a letter or whatever.
I don't know if I'll have an answer for that right away.
Yeah,
we may not. There may be some of those people that may need some time before we know.
Okay.
But in the meantime, there are several weeks that cabin gate is not being used before they come. So in preparation for that, I mean, we're talking even in November, cabin 8, that's the one they're requesting. So if they're the better one, cabin 7 or cabin 8, perhaps we could suggest that.
I think that one's soot. It's got to be a faulty lamp.
It's got to be a faulty lamp.
None of the others, the wrong altitude
or something else has happened.
So you change that out, you could leave that lamp burning, open the cupboards underneath the sink, and you probably won't. It'll probably keep it warm enough that you don't have
That's all I got. Also, on that, I forgot to say earlier, when Phil called me and said he wasn't going to make it, he said if there's a tie vote or anything needs to be voted on it seriously, we can text him and he could commit a vote if needed. But so far, everything's been.
Haven't
even been close to being in trouble. Okay.
We can be left alone.
Number 8, which is John Harris for
his projects.
Yeah, okay. On the roads, I haven't done a whole lot this lately. Seems like every time we've needed to use the grader, something goes wrong with it. Yeah, so this last time it was a flat. Alan was going to go up and do lot 21 road, ranch road up there, and there's another one that I want done. It's going up to the big red cabin up to lot 110 in that area there. I'd like to get those done before we camp because they're pretty rough. But Alan's been so busy here lately with this water problem.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah.
Everybody knows better, don't they? And so I've pretty much left him alone on that stuff because he's had his hands full. And him and Brent have worked diligently on that. And but that's, I don't have much on roads other than the rabbit brush I talked about, so we've already covered that. And so mine is going to be short and sweet. As soon as we get our tires back and get that grader running, I want to get to...
Did we get the dump truck?
The dump truck is done. I think I didn't tell everybody. The problem with the flat tire was there's a bad wheel. It's a steel rim. It has rust on it. Somebody had it apart before we bought it. They put Bondo on the rust.
Oh.
I didn't know you know how to use Bondo, Larry.
Just open the can and scoop it out.
And it didn't seal. But we have two spares. So I told them to put the spare on, which is a brand new tire. The brand new tire is coming off is on a bad wheel. We can switch that with the used tire, and we'll have one brand new spare, and then we can look for another wheel next year if we want from Brent through his contacts, and we can have two spares again. So he can pick it up on the way back.
That tire is actually good.
The tire is good. The wheel is bad.
Okay.
The bead on the wheel.
That other spare we got.
That's what I was going to tell you. Take the truck back home.
And just
and then when you get it,
we're done.
Then when you come back down next time, bring down two tires. I don't know if...
That other spare isn't that good.
No, the spare isn't, but...
The wheel's
good. The wheel, well, we hope the wheel's good.
I think it's the blasted tire.
The Bondo man may have got in there, too. Who knows?
Okay. And another thing, when we get that dump truck, we've got some mud holes that form between the gravel pit and Broad Hall. You know where they are.
Excuse me for interrupting while I'm thinking about it. The backhoe. Chuck Eddie. He had emailed me and said he was on his way because he just told me. I said, when are you coming? And he says, I'm leaving to come out and inspect. I said, it's not going to work because I'm not going to be there. And for your information, the oil sensor on it was leaking on the backhoe. So Brent took that off yesterday when I was meeting with the hunter. He went and took that off, and he was going to pick up a new sensor. So I just grabbed the keys out of the back and put them in my pocket because I didn't want him jumping on that. I didn't give him permission.
Right. But it sounds like he thought he pretty much could get it.
That's the impression that I got from the email. So I just went out and grabbed the keys and took it. So anyway, once we get that done and the tires, all the equipment should be up and going.
Okay. Well, that'll be good.
The oil sensor has been removed. Did you fill the hole with Bondo?
Get the wrong guy. So that's the projects that I'd like to see for the roads. Is those two, at least those two roads. You and I went up to the when we went up to the top of the mountain where the red cabin is. We come down that one. That's one of them. The other is one that you
never finished.
No. No, that was over there lot 20,
yeah, that's
21 over by Brent's.
Well, I got that one. I went up there with the backhoe.
Did you do it with the backhoe?
Did stuff.
It doesn't do much.
No, I'll just go up there with the blade anyway, but nevertheless, I'm just thing that that road that I've begun here with is not finished.
No, that's not finished, and then we need to get the one that's going up to Cobb Cruise, guys, up there in the wintertime, too. Anyway, I'll talk to you that. We don't need to talk about that here.
Larry, who's the best guy to take a tire to have that done? I think that Bowman's, they beat around the bush saying they couldn't get the tire apart. It's a split rim. It's not the normal kind. And I think they were a bit confused. Is there a better tire company in town? Because we need to bring those two tires down and have them switched for the dump truck. If you think Bowman's still good, we can go back to him. Who's this Mike? Was it Mike?
Mike Little.
Does he do better work on tires?
Well, he's the one that's got the...
Yeah, the greater tire.
The greater tire, yeah. Little should be fine.
Okay.
Kind of surprised me that
Ramsey's won't do it.
Ramsey's really isn't set up for any big
tires.
Big stuff.
So next time you bring a truck down big enough, bring those two tires down, and we'll have a backup spare again. That's all I got.
Okay, and I have one more, and this will be for you, Mariah.
Okay.
I didn't see the email. I don't know if you emailed it to me or not, but you sent an email to Alan about somebody coming out to bring in a their skid steer and a truck.
Never did hear from him.
And he said he had a BLM permit, so he didn't need to pay that and what have you. I didn't know. What was his intention? Was his intention to take our gravel that we've already pre-screened?
Well, the phone call I got was pretty vague. His wife called me. They were going to have a delivery, and they wanted some gravel to put in their driveway. And so she called me to find out if they can make arrangements. She said, I've already got my BLM permit. I've already got that taken care of. We're coming out this weekend. And I said, absolutely, you can get that taken care of. You just need to contact our ranch managers, and they'll be able to assist you with that. So I passed that on to Ellen, and we were having trouble with communication, so she said, I haven't heard from him, so we passed it on again, and then and Ellen got my emails on that, and then that was it. I haven't heard from him since. I have no idea what happened.
I emailed him back, and
are these ranch
commissioners? We're on our way, and that's the only information. I have no idea where they were coming from or anything, but I never did see anybody at the ranch.
I think they're coming from Patriot, but it's the
Abbott. Abbott. That's the same people that Eddie's.
Is that who's doing the stuff at court?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, here's my...
I saw somebody towing in a skid steer,
but they never grabbed any gravel from the pit, so, but they're over in Podunk.
I wonder if they're getting gravel out of the Podunk.
Well, it looks to me like...
Is if they got gravel out of the Podunk, the only thing I can figure out. That's what they did.
I don't private gravel pit, right?
I think it's a natural wash, yeah.
I don't know. I think that I'm seeing awfully fresh scrapings off that pile.
Well, I took a load yesterday.
Huh?
I took a load yesterday. And before that, it was Johnson.
Rodney.
Yeah, but Rod Johnson made arrangements on that.
I'm just saying. So if you're seeing, I was the last one. I only took one load.
I just saw some fresh scrapings, and so
we used all of it.
I feel like from talking to them that they, and knowing the backstory on how the sale and everything happened, that they probably have another relationship with those down in Podunk, that was probably already arranged, and they thought they needed to call me, and so they did, and then when they got there, they realized, oh, no, this is ours. You don't need to worry about them, and then they just took care of it.
Yeah, the Podunk stuff really doesn't belong to us anyway. Or the Podunk, because we're taking it off of BLM land there that...
Bunch of static. You're
breaking up. I can't hear you.
Yeah, well, that's the fact. Anyway, here's my stand on it, and the board, of course, can disagree with me if they want to. But I've mentioned this before. That is. DSROA gravel that's already been screened, been through the Grizzly. And yes, we're willing to help somebody out with maybe a truckload or two or something like that. But I don't want somebody building the road. We're not in the business of, we're not going to be in the business of screening gravel for sale, per se. So somebody would say, well, geez, I got a half a mile road over here, and I can get over there and get that gravel for $8.50 a yard. All I got to do is haul it myself. No. If Jody needs a couple of truckloads up there because of something, that's one thing. You know, maybe 10, 12 yards, something like that. That's one thing. But somebody needs 150, 200 yards, 500 yards.
I would almost say that the screened finished product gravel that DSROA has should only be for DSROA.
Well, I agree.
Even private, I mean, it's available there in the pit. They can pay a BLM permit, and they can screen, you know, if they want to use or rent the...
They can use our screen and rent
screen,
it.
The screen, yeah. I mean, there's
$50 for the screen, and they can do that. I agree. I'm totally against them using it, but we have let them do it. But I'm not a driver of it because we're just not in that business. We don't have a tractor big enough to do large scale work. And I paid $3,800 to a guy to build that out there for us, and we had about 1,000 yards. And I was going to try to get a hold of him and try to get some more with my money this year so we would have it. But we're going to use some of my money on the is that the deal? On the rabbit brush deal?
Just say yes, Joey. Just say yes.
$4,500 of it.
For the rabbit brush and the poison.
What's going to take $10 out and I'll buy gravel?
Well, it doesn't matter where it comes from. It's just accessible.
Okay. I'm just asking.
It's okay,
Brad. No, it's okay. We'll use his money also.
Answer my question, please.
Oh, no. Wait, John.
I think she did. She's not using your money.
Good. Then I know what I can do with some of my money.
Okay.
That's all I want. I'm done.
We had a discussion about, was it money from his account? It was over. It was going to compensate something else. No, that was the agriculture that we had left over that we were going to use for this.
You're allocating money from leftover funds to the...
No, this was a different thing.
Oh.
Okay. Just open.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I brought it up and introduced Steve. Okay.
John thought he was losing out from road money.
I was volunteering some of my money for that. Right. But if you found it some other place, then
I'm going to take it.
While she's looking that up on roads, I would like to make a couple of suggestions. I know Alan is doing a good job learning the grader, and there's only one way to learn it, and
that's
to do
practice.
It.
Yep.
It's yours, John.
And it's a problem because our roads are narrow and steep and up and down, and so it's not an ideal place to learn how to run a grader.
Where's that?
And I've been busy, and he's been busy on other things, so I haven't had much of a time to work with him or do much. I can some more in the future. I know he's going to be busy with other things, but I would like to still spend some time. The way our roads, I mean, we have, if you were to draw our road profile, we have 10 different profiles on the ranch. You know, your typical Meadow Canyon that's got drainage on both sides and a mild crown. You got other places going down through the head of Broad Hollow, connecting from Pipeline over to Slide Canyon that are steep bank on one side, nearly level road, and a cliff on the other side. And every road situation requires a different
technique,
treatment and a different technique as to where do we put ditches or not ditches. Sometimes it's critical. Every place of the road, the water is critical. And by creating a ditch, you may be doing more damage or benefit as to where that water goes. Does it cross the road 3 or 4 times? Or can you control it once? And there's things with that I know because I've done it for 20 years, and I don't have to think ahead. Well, I'm doing something right here, and that water is going to affect my road 3 more times. And so there's some things that I would like to work with you on, and Alan on grading, and the places that we should put some culverts. I've treated it somewhat in the past with just cross little
Yeah, like going up from your dad's place there.
There's the bad one is up in the top of Broad Hollow, where you top out there and start dropping back down through. That one is a nightmare, but it, you need the culvert. And then just one thing to kind of keep in mind on whenever you create a ditch, I like to try to keep any chance I can making the roads a little bit wider. We have X number of feet of driving surface, and so anything we do that diminishes that driving surface makes it harder and harder for our members to maneuver with a truck, a trailer, and so I think it's just something I need to work with you a little bit and help transfer some of the ideas I've got or history of what to do and where to do it and how to do it. And you're talking about going up to Ron's? Is that where you...
Yeah, up that one. I have one or the other. I take it there's some new members up there that have bought up there. They've complained about the road, and it's pretty rough.
Are they up on top by Ron?
I have a feeling that they're just this side of the red cabin and that new area where they're working down in there. I have a feeling. I don't know them, but I just know that I got a complaint.
I've been.
Ron has never said anything.
Oh, he says something to me about every time I run into him. When are they going to do that? Well, if we grade it, Ron, then you'll just drive through the mud and make a big rut.
Yeah. So, well, I'll bow to your expertise on that. I have the job. I don't know how to do it.
You've done a great job to actually back with Paul, at least force him to start doing something, and you've done a great job with Alan to get things done. He hasn't had a lot of time because we've had too many other fires.
And incidentally, that culvert you mentioned, an easy one, I have, we have five new culverts, 30 inches up to 36, two 30s, or three 30s, a 36, and a 48, brand new galvanized, and I'm getting more of this next year. I already talked to Steve over at Keith over at Chilton's about it. Trying to get a good deal on.
Good luck.
He's got a workshop. Well, he offered to give me a couple for my place. Just give them to me.
Okay, let's move on to the last one here almost.
All right, I'm done.
Mariah Wheeler's up.
I just have one question. On these waivers that we passed off, do they need to be every visit, even if they've been out to the ranch? Is this an annual waiver signature?
That's a good thought.
I would think it would be annual, which is fine, but I don't know.
I haven't looked at them lately, but they should be forever.
Oh.
And
oh.
Have them re-sign when you can.
Okay.
But there shouldn't be an expiration date that says, I recognize that there's inherent dangers in coming out, and
right.
I take on the risk for myself until...
I thought that was the last year. I thought that was the last year.
But it should, Larry, should maybe when we send out the annual dues, we could say this is a forever life waiver, and they can sign it and bring it in, and every member that signed it is good forever.
Mail it back with your
Always better if you have to go to court to have them have signed one 6 months ago rather than 6 years ago.
That's a lawyer's fault.
So I continue the practice of having them sign them every year.
Okay.
But the document itself should say, you're signing away and you acknowledge now and forever that this is the situation.
Okay.
Then you're covered both ways.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, what else we got? We got fire protection. Who's this Clarkson Larry guy?
I know Brent has been working with the fire marshal. He was going to come out and do some work, and they had communication back and forth that I got for postponed. I didn't know when it was back on
Monday.
Okay.
Kevin,
two. I got a question on fire. Have we checked? Was that a 4,000 gallon tank? Is it pretty much full all the time for the overflow from the 40?
Down below the lower system?
That black, the old black tank with the holes in it?
It should be a 4,000 gallon tank.
Do we know if it's full in case we do have a fire?
No,
fire trucks can fill up with that?
It's not full.
It's not? Oh, because we've got a pipe, like the overflow pipe or something?
Well, yeah, that, and it's the time of year that we don't want that thing
full.
Oh.
It probably wouldn't freeze, would it? It's black. It's. even if it freezes, it's got enough leaks in it, it probably wouldn't break it.
Well, that's another concern.
But, yeah, we don't need to worry about fire and winter anyhow, so.
Fire truck, is it operation?
Is the what?
The fire truck operation.
As far as I know, Brent has not ordered the carburetor for it yet. I made a few suggestions on a couple of special adjustments. He said he would try it, but I don't know if he has or not. So when he finishes doing those adjustments, then we're going to, if it doesn't work, we're going to order a new carburetor for
the pump. I don't know if he tried the adjustments or not. The last time I talked with him, he was still going to order a new carburetor or something.
Well, that's what he told me, but then I said, he took it apart, and I asked him how he adjusted the air fuel mixture. It's got to be screwed all the way in and then backed out a turn and a half, and if he didn't start from that position, it acted to me like it was running lean. So maybe on that old engine, it's got to be backed out 2.5 turns. So I wanted him to play with that. That's just from previous knowledge that I got lucky with.
The worst happened, called him for
then, yeah, well, we then tore his down.
So this is a feel-good measure. I mean, we tried to, we drove it out this year to the water trough and ran
off some water.
And just, yeah, pumped the water trough. I didn't have it dependent on putting on a campfire. You know, anything that was really burning, I wonder if we're spending a lot of time on that front.
What about the fire pit that you talked about last fire pit the other day?
Me?
That I talked about?
Yeah, I don't know.
I had a suggestion. When I was checking water and such with Alan and stuff, I went to the fire pit by cabin 6 area, 6, 7, and 8. I think we ought to get the brush hog for safety there and take out all those zones for about 40 yards maybe for a thing, and then maybe get some of that red rock that's down by the old rock pit on Scudapah Road and then put gravel all the way around that. Then as a backup, I was thinking we should tap into that water faucet, go underground, come up and put two sprayers in the pit that we could actually turn the valve, open it up, and we could put the fire out in case the wind picks up.
That's a great idea.
The pressure's there.
Always balancing.
So anyway,
so are you talking about putting like a frost-free hydrant right out by the fire pit, or a separate?
There's already one there.
But you're talking about just some kind of extinguisher sprayer that
would be like they do on in restaurants. You pull one lever and it. Now all the food's gone that hour.
In all honesty, how many times have you seen that fire lit up there?
Only a couple, but it doesn't take long to start it
all at the wrong time.
When long as dry.
I don't want to be another Brian Head fire on Deer Springs Ranch. It just takes one time to do
it. I still see fire pits around some of our cabins. Are we dismantling them? Did we decide?
My wife and his wife dismantled all of them. He pushed one down the hill on cabin 4 with the backhoe because the rocks were too big for the girls to move. And the next person that came in brought them back around and built another fire pit. Well, worse than that is cabin 7 or 8 was being used a couple weeks ago. And they built an actual fire without putting rocks around it. One of your cousins.
That's 8?
I didn't mention any names. But
that's very
good. That sounds close.
He's on his side of that.
Built a fire and didn't even put rocks around it.
You know,
open fire with...
Dave and Stevie are his cousins, and Jennifer and Tammy, the girls are my cousins.
There you go.
I got to have some input here. You know, the fire thing, when you first start coming to the ranch and you buy at the ranch, you're thinking you're camping. And, yeah, you're happy you have a cabin and everything, but you are thinking you're getting a cabin experience. I don't know if we'll ever stop these people from building fires. They're just going to keep doing it.
You're
100%
right.
I don't know.
Well, because of that reason, I think it's good what Joe mentioned is to have a big rock, you know, a gravel area instead of sagebrush and cheatgrass right there by the fire to start creating a little bit more of a protected zone.
But they want them right at their cabin. So they want to walk out the door of their cabin.
Cabin's floor and the three one right outside the door.
Well, that works at 6, 7, and 8 really well. 1, 2, 3, and 4, that's a whole different, because they do. They want to have their family campfire going. How are we going to put water at all those locations? I'm like, I don't know how to correct this, but it's a good thing for down there. That'll work. Up on the top, I'm like, boy.
Are we insured if they burn our cabin down?
They got an outside thicket.
Okay.
To it so that if
they can reach
it. Yeah, they can actually take time.
And is this, as you've noticed, has there always been a hose hook up to the spigot when those fires are going?
Oh, well, that's another.
There's usually a hose. I've never
seen it. It's a sad deal because what they do with that water is another thing.
Yeah.
I mean, making wash your vehicle.
Yeah.
They would.
And we put that notice in the newsletter all the time, too, but we know it still goes on. But
let the kids just turn it on and leave it running down the hillside.
So anyway, if we get the brush hog going there, I'd like to go around that big fire pit because it's got brush everywhere. And I'd say we get the dump truck going, we can go to the rock quarry down by Brent's old place and bring up and spread it around. Nothing else, use that boat up.
Can I'd like to ask a question at this point. Okay, we found, so far we found if we just tear the fire ring out, if they're going to build one.
They build them right back.
Then, this is a catch-22. Then maybe we should build something that's legal deep enough.
A concrete one.
Well, we could do it out of rocks. We could do it out of boulders, but we'd need it deep, like 18 inches deep. And make it big enough around that contained in the middle and it's not going to blow away. And then brush hog around the whole thing and go ahead and put water there. Where the catch-22 is comes in and we have a no burn and they say, well, you know, we got us a nice legal fire ring here. But I think I'd rather take a chance on that and just build one and go ahead and prepare for that and brush hog around it. And put some water source, at least with the hose, they're close by. I'd rather do that than run the risk of them. But the same idiots, I call them idiots when they do that, because I caught some red-handed and called them down on it. Because the fire, they built one out there, and the wind was blowing, and the sparks were going over there. Well, we're cooking. I said, we tell you, you're going to cook us all.
That culvert on the ranch outside of Pond 3, there's about a 10-footer there, a 4-foot diameter. Whose culvert is that?
It's your dad's, isn't it?
We could probably cut that in 3-foot sections and make a better fire pit by burying it down.
We way too deep. That's a deep, deep fire pit down there.
They don't get any heat out of it.
Well, it doesn't have to be that deep. I mean, right. It's better than just rock.
So we build them all the time, and $200 of pavers will wrap around that 3-foot thing, and so you have a really pretty fire pit. But, and you can do it. You can make out of one culvert. You can make fire pits for every single cabin. But I think we should rethink this. I think we're encouraging people to do something that puts everybody at risk. Our ranch property and cabins, I know they're doing
that
anyway.
That's the catch-22.
We've already taken the fire pits apart, and they just rebuild them.
Yeah,
unless you send them an invoice for doing it, saying make them sign a statement saying you cannot build a fire.
Well, they sign when they come. They sign a waiver, and part of that waiver could be there are no fires except for in two places that you're from. Come and cook your marshmallows, bring your families, whatever. These are the places that are allowed. Other than that, there's a $2,500 fire fee that you can pay half of our insurance on or whatever. And then, so if you have a fire and we come and you have a fire, you sign the waiver that there's a fine, that you've agreed not to have a fire, you have a fire, and we bill you for, you know,
maybe we should get a letter from the local fire department stating if you're caught with a fire, it's a $2,500, whatever the fine is, and then make each person sign that when they check into the cabins and say, if you build a fire, and the fire department catches you, you will pay this, not the ranch.
Maybe a big red sign in the cabin there someplace.
But otherwise, we're going to have another fire here, sooner or later.
The fire department.
But I agree with you, Brad, on that one.
We need to regulate that.
But the other way around, I'd rather build one.
On my cabin, running from Manzanita that I was limbing and trimming, there was somebody up on Deer Springs Point, BLM truck, saw the flame. And the fire was out almost, and he drove up in the fire truck, in a BLM truck, and said, "Is you have a fire here?" I said, "Look at my fire pit." He says, "This is a no burn time. Now, that's an authorized fire pit with a steel plate on the bottom. I can't catch roots on fire or anything. And I got steel doors that close in case it gets out of control." He said, "Put the fire out. Next time I catch that fire, I will fine you."
He saw it from clear across the Deer Springs Point, on Lake Wash Point area. He drove all the way over.
Well, it was a no burn there.
It was a no burn, but it wasn't a very big fire on it, but 3 foot by 3 foot.
He was bored.
Big enough to burn the forest. Yeah.
And my question is to the reservation,
so they can get
sent out to him to have a little red.
You need to post the yearly fire thing. Need to post it in the cabin.
Need to post it. I never came the first time Mom called. You wait until there's if I don't come now, there's going to be some serious consequences. That's when you come. If we just tear the fire pit down, they put it back, they build a fire. If we tear it down, they put it back. We tear it down, they just build a fire. We fine you $200. I'm going to say, I don't think that. Kids, come cook your hot dogs on the stove.
I think people are getting a little more fire conscious because of the Bryanhead fire, because of other things we've seen, but I think it's a good idea to have something go out in the reservation, the communication that Mariah does, just to say, be aware there are no fires at Deer Springs Ranch except for location A and location B. If you have a fire in any other location, it's a $2,000 fine.
BLM asked me to shut mine down, and it was, now mine's a steel fireplace. It was doors, and they still told me to shut it down.
I think it's $2,000. I'm thinking now we have fine closes, we've had fine closes for years and years, they're not paying attention to us. It's okay, but now the pistol, they'll be going to hit $2,000 fine.
Okay, well, let's
cause a fire outside of these two areas, whatever we designate those areas to be.
Let's come up with a letter that we can
put.
Creating a $2,000 fine and having it enforceable, probably not possible.
It may stop some of the people.
If you're saying, then this is what the BLM fine is, and we use the actual amount of the BLM fine, then that's fine.
Okay.
Creating a separate fine of any real significance that doesn't match the possibility, you know, the...
I'll get with Brent and have him get a letter. I'll see if he can get a price from what the price would be.
Yeah, so I mean, if it's something that tells what the BLM fine is, then we can include that and say,
this is a BLM fine, not a ranch fine.
Yep.
You will be turned over. Right. You will be turned into the BLM.
Yeah.
And something like that, too. Say... the people that John talked to, because I saw them.
That was during the Bryanhead fire.
That was the reason I was being out there, and I'm so glad that you went over there and talked to me, because we would have had the
where was it? Where were they burning?
Cabin 6.
But if we were to say on that paper,
it was Cabin 6.
You know, not three, blah, 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 and then by you starting the fire in that unauthorized pit, not only would you be susceptible to BLMB, but you will also be liable.
And any damages caused for ranch property.
We can charge them for cleaning up their fire.
I think it should include the pit. Even
building a pit is the... And the best way to do that is to do that in the paperwork that you have them signed when they make the reservation.
Okay, that's all I got. Anybody to adjourn the meeting?
I'm moved to adjourn the meeting.
Okay, I say I'm moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.